You may never look your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. Greg Jackson, two G's on the end of gregjackson.com, author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, author of an upcoming book about 40 Things to Teach Your Sons About Manner and Etiquette. Man, I can't wait for that book to come out. And, of course, a very astute observer and assessor of current events. We're talking about, well, current events as they relate to the political sphere, but the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of America, the absence of leadership of American, the American Christian conservatives, the appeal of Donald Trump being an alpha male, saying what everyone who really wants to be, either is or wants to be, or can relate to alpha males, wants to hear in context. Greg, we're going to turn it back to you. So, but before we do, let me just remind everyone, folks, HagmanReportStore.com, now open for business, HagmanReportStore.com. But you can't just look at the merchandise. You got to read the descriptions, because the descriptions tell it all. HagmanReportStore.com. Grand opening as we inaugurate the store with Greg Jackson. Folks, one more thing as well. If you haven't done so, please visit WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com with a W, W-H-O-L-E, ToneSLive.com. We have gotten such a great response. So many people emailing us saying, you know, our work days are so much better when we play WholeTonesLive.com. The music from WholeTonesLive.com in our office. My wife has marveling at the health benefits. It has, the music, sound frequencies has given her, her ability to sleep is better. Her aches and pains are alleviated a little bit from the music frequencies. And it's true. And even our studio dog lady, when she goes home at night, she climbs right up in bed, and with Whole Tones in the background, my goodness, she's out like a light. Of course, on a Casper mattress. But anyway, WholeTonesLive.com. What a great website. And the healing frequencies of music. This is all from King David. This is all biblical. This is, and you go to WholeTonesLive.com and get the background of this music. It's more than music. It's frequencies, motivational frequencies, healing frequencies, frequencies to calm the beast within you, or frequencies to motivate you, inspire your creativity. That's WholeTonesLive.com. We had Michael Terrell on. He's a fantastic man, and he had talked about how it all came about, how he was inspired. What a great story. check out our interview with Michael Terrell from WholeTonesLive.com. But at any rate, go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's W-H-O-L-E, TonesLive.com. Download a free sample and then follow through. Go ahead and order the CD set from WholeTonesLive.com. You won't be sorry. I can guarantee you that. Greg Jackson's our guest. Greg, thanks for holding over. And let's continue our discussion. You made some great points,
man. Yeah, we're talking about Donald Trump's appeal to the average voter out there, the disdain that the conservative media and establishment Republicans have for him, and the change that his presidential run is affecting on the nation. And like you said earlier, Greg, when we were talking on the phone, it is separating people from, it is separating the wolves from the sheep. We are seeing the true colors of people come out. People on the Republican side, even pundits, popular pundits, conservative pundits, are saying they would vote for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. It's an amazing thing to see. As you said earlier, their true colors are being shown. And it's not pretty.
Absolutely. The Bible says, and I'm just going to read here from Psalm 21, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that used to be, I think, for 300 years of American history, even predating our founding, the battle cry or slogan for the United States of America. I think that most Americans, for the vast majority of American history, understood that while we weren't a perfect nation by any stretch of the imagination, that, as de Tocqueville said, we were great because we were good. We knew right from wrong. We didn't parade our sin out in public. We were ashamed of our sin. And we didn't try to glamorize, romanticize, or in any way celebrate our sinful behavior. But sadly, as the Word of God has been all but removed from our schools, our courts, as the foundation of our law and our government, as the God of the Bible has been pushed out from virtually every area of our society, something has to fill that void. Blaise Pascal, the famous mathematician, once said, "In every man's heart is a God-shaped void." And if God is not in our hearts, then we will find something to fill that void. And that's sadly where I think we are in the United States of America, which is that the primary reason for America's greatness is that we were a God-fearing nation. We were biblically literate. We knew God's word. We knew right from wrong. And our laws and our government and our society and our culture reflected that. And now it's the exact opposite. And I don't know, Joe and Doug, if there will be a fourth great awakening or third great awakening in the United States of America. I don't know if there will be revival. I personally lean toward we have crossed the tipping point in America, and that we're currently under judgment per Romans chapter 21, being a society that's being given over to what our heart craves. Like the Israelites who craved the quail. And God gave them quail when they were in the desert until they puked it up. God will give you what it is that you crave. And unfortunately, a nation that once craved the Word of God in obedience to Him, who craved truth and justice and righteousness, now, I believe, has turned from those great edifices that and values that made this nation great. And unfortunately, I think God is using a man like Donald Trump just as he used Barack Obama. I believe that our nation was an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, and he literally made us into an Obama nation for 8 years. Because God chooses our rulers. I mean, we vote, but God is sovereign. And he allowed Barack Obama to occupy the White House for the past 8 years. Why? I believe as a tool of judgment on a nation that turned from him. We've had time after time, we've had since 9/11, we've had plenty of opportunities to repent and to get right. And I don't know about you guys, I've seen the opposite take place since 9/11 in our country. I've seen a further turning away from God's word. I've seen a further compromise and dilution of the scriptures being taught. I've seen a more lukewarmness within the quote-unquote church in the United States of America. And I think that where we are, at right now in 2016 is that God, being a patient and loving but just God, is showing us that what our real need is, and that we really don't have a choice in terms of who the president of the United States is going to be, because there are no Davids out there that will be obedient to the one true God, who will proclaim the name of the Lord in the public square, who will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think the pilgrims and the Puritans were ashamed of the name of Jesus? And yet you can't get one politician running for president to acknowledge the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ, who is in all, who made all. He's the creator. He's the judge. And unfortunately, we are at a time in our nation where we have turned our backs against the one true God. And Donald Trump, I believe, as we're talking about Trump, God is using, again, he's allowing Trump's candidacy. I personally, you know, agree with Steve Quayle, what he said last night, and Pastor Lankford. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, folks, definitely go in the archives and listen to last night's show. I think they're going to be on again tomorrow as a continuation. But try to make it a point to listen to last night's show, because there was so many good... And you know what I loved most about last night's show was that it went right to the heart of the matter. And it was tears, shedding of tears for God's people. And that's what pains me the most, Joe and Doug, about our nation right now, is that when we should be repenting and in tears and broken about the state of our nation. 4,000 babies were murdered today in our country. You won't see that one story about that anywhere. Because, of course, it's legal to kill babies in America. And yet 4,000 babies were allowed to be murdered in cold blood today across the United States of America. And it's 4,000 babies a day, a 9/11 each day, every day since 1973, 60 million babies. And our churches should be heartbroken. We should be in tears over what we stand by and allow. And yet, nary a peep from the vast majority of churches. I mean, you got a guy like Pastor Flip Benham, whom I love. He's a great man of God, and I know he's been a guest on your show, and he goes out every day, and Coach Dave Dobmeier, and they stand in front of the abortion clinics. Well, the church, the body of Christ, should be having church at these abortion clinics, and yet we've accepted it. Oh, well, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, so we're just going to have to allow it. And yet we should be broken, like Pastor Lankford was talking about. We should be contrite. We should be broken. We should be in tears at what we've allowed in this nation. We should be broken that we've allowed our kids to be sent to public schools where they're being indoctrinated with humanist, communist, anti-Christical propaganda from 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon every day. thinking that an hour and a half of Sunday school is going to reverse it. We should be ashamed of the fact that we stand idly by and say nothing and do nothing when the largest retailer in the United States of America allows grown men to go inside the bathroom with women and young girls. And yet I can guarantee you that probably 99% of most churches over the past few Sundays probably won't mention it because they don't want to offend anybody, because probably a lot of their congregants go to Target. They don't want to create any, you know, any controversy. Tithing might go down, God forbid. And so the question is really, how are we to live? What should we do as Christians in this country? And we touched upon it before the break, and I'd be interested to hear your guys' thoughts and opinions. To me, I don't see signs of a great awakening, a spiritual revival in this country. What I see is judgment increasing, and increasing massively, because God loves his people so much that he will allow that judgment, that discipline, to take place, because he knows there's no other way for souls to once again look toward him. Because that's all he wants, is our heart. He just wants our hearts. And so I fear, Doug and Joe, that what happened to Kurt Schilling, our good friend Kurt Schilling on ESPN, getting fired from ESPN for saying what? On his Facebook page, that he disagreed with Target's policy of allowing grown men to do their business in the women's room, got him fired from ESPN. You don't think if you're a Christian that you are going to be persecuted, that you're going to be marginalized, that you are going to be attacked?
Absolutely we are. And not only that,
it's going to increase massively, guys.
Not only did they fire Kurt Schilling from ESPN and edited him out of the ALCS and took the documentary out of the Bloody Sock game, but they hired a pro-LGBT, that part I'm sure, possibly transgender person to take his place. That I'm not sure about. But it was a complete reversal what they did. They went and hired somebody who they felt that Schilling was kind of targeting with that message.
Well, we're not surprised, because we know that Disney owns ESPN, and we know that Disney is of this world, and we know that Satan is the prince of the air, right? Of the airwaves. And so we shouldn't be surprised that a Disney owned company, once a great company, is now in business with an agenda. And ESPN has an agenda. And one of the major agendas of ESPN, and you guys have talked about this when you talk about the whole Tavistockian philosophy that goes on to reprogram people's thinking. And one of their major goals and objectives is to change the way males think. They want to castrate and feminize men. They want men to think in the back of their minds that if they have a traditional Christian biblical worldview, that they too could lose their job. I mean, those are the times in which we are living in, gentlemen. You read 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4. And Paul is talking to Timothy about what the end days are going to look like, and we are in those days. And so I wish I could say that, you know, Ronald Reagan was coming back and we were going to live in an area where the chrome was thick and the women were straight. But I don't believe that that's what the Bible says. Right?
Never heard it put like that before, but yes.
And you're right. No, it does say that, you know, men will continue to be worse and worse in all manner of sin, and that the apostasy will continue. People will continue to fall away from the church, fall away from the true foundations and precepts that were given to us in the scripture, and that due to this, that their hearts would be turned over to darkness.
Here's the good news, though. Hey, Joe, here's the good news. Yes, that's what godlessness in the last days looks like. 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? In the last days, there'll be times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen, with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. That just described a lot of churches in America. Avoid such people, Paul says to young Timothy, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. But here's the good news. The good news is that verse 10 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy says, you, however, and I think this is instructive of you and me and the entire Hagman and Hagman worldwide audience who is asking the question, okay, Greg, thanks for telling me it's really, really dark and it's about to get really, really darker and then I'm going to get persecuted and attacked and hated by my family members. Thanks for that really good dose of really positive, encouraging K-Love news. Is there a good, happy ending to this story? And the answer is yes. Because Paul says to young Timothy in verse 10, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That, to me, is the good news. This is how we are to live. We are to defend sound doctrine. We recognize that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And finally, he says to young Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from the listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And Joe and Doug, people saying, well, what do? Paul just gave us the answer. We get into the Word. We study the Word. We show ourselves approved. We teach the Word. We share the Word. We share the Gospel. We say, Lord Jesus, how can you use me today? I got plans in my daytime or in my calendar, but all those plans, if they're not your plans, I don't want anything to do with them. You put me where you need me to be on the front lines. And that's what I believe the Lord Jesus is calling his people to at this late hour. Not to be anxious about who's going to sit in the White House and to get back and forth on Facebook with people who aren't going to listen to you anyway about you know, casting your pearls before swine and getting in all sorts of arguments and debates about minor issues when, in fact, Paul says to young Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. That means all the time. It doesn't mean just on Sundays. It means whenever the Lord calls us. And that's what I want to leave your listeners with tonight, Joe and Doug, is that we have an amazing opportunity as Christians to be able to lift up and encourage, because things are going to get real dark. When people get their 401ks and their IRAs taken away from them, when the banks close, and that day is coming, and when people are scrapping and scraping just to get by, and they don't have their stuff anymore, they are going to be looking at you, and they're going to say, how can you smile? Where is your joy coming from? And the scriptures tell us to be prepared to give an answer, an accounting for the joy that is within us. And my prayer for the entire Hagman and Hagman audience tonight is that we would be good Bereans, that we would search the scriptures, that we would be more intimate, like Pastor Langford was talking about last night, and asking the Lord, Lord, it's easy for me to point a finger at the world, but where do you want me? How can I improve? How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better friend? How can I be more bold and courageous in sharing the gospel with a world that desperately needs it? And so I want to encourage your listeners worldwide, Joe and Doug, to do a few things. Number one, to recognize the platform that God has given you to, which is primarily to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people who are saved would be encouraged and grow in the faith and become more sanctified, and those who are not saved, who don't know with 100% assurance and certainty that if they died tonight, that they would spend eternity in heaven. If you don't have that assurance, may today be the day of salvation for you. It's not a coincidence that you're listening to this show tonight and hearing my voice, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. And my prayer that even if it's one person of the millions of listeners who listen to this show, Joe and Doug, worldwide, if there's one person that comes to faith tonight, that receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, forgiven of all of your sins with the assurance, the blessed hope and assurance that when you die, you will spend eternity in heaven. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith. It's by God's grace we're saved through faith, not by works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's an act of faith. You don't get yourself cleaned up and, you know, I got to get this thing out of my life and that thing out of my life, before I become a Christian. No, you don't do those things before you become a Christian. You take all of your sin to the foot of the cross. You repent. You acknowledge that you are a sinner and that your sin separates you from a holy and righteous God. And you come to Him with a contrite heart and a broken spirit in tears, and you receive His free gift of salvation. It's His finished work on the cross that saves you. It's His righteousness that is imputed to you. It's nothing that you do to receive salvation. You don't need to go through a priest. You don't have to. You don't get it through going through the Virgin Mary. There's only one man who ever walked on this earth who is without sin. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the only way to heaven. And my prayer tonight for your listeners is time is short. Tomorrow is not promised. And if you are not 100% assured that you have been born again, meaning that you have repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by grace through faith, that today would be the day of salvation for you. And if you are a believer, my prayer for you is that I'm just going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. My prayer for you is that, let me just start at in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering, this is good news, guys, the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, and the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's a happy ending to this. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, but you're anxious, you're scared, you live alone, you're going through troubles, you're going through difficulties in your life, the Bible says that he will wash away every tear, and that those tears of joy that Pastor Lankford was talking about with Steve Quayle last night will be turned into tears of joy. He will wipe away every tear. And so I wanted to encourage your listeners with those words, because that's the most important thing, Joe and Doug, that we have to be in the business of keeping, of majoring in the majors, not being focused on all the little side issues that the enemy wants us to be focused on, but keeping the main thing the main thing. The answer to all America's problems are turning to Jesus. Individually, corporately as families, corporately as the body of Jesus Christ. You want the society to look different? It starts with each one of us individually being restored, renewed, growing in our faith, and being bold and courageous and sharing our faith with those around us. That's how we experience revival.
Amen.
I don't think I could have said that better. I mean, this is what it's all about. At the end of the day, you know, the older I get, the more I become aware of my mortality, and the more I become aware of whatever legacy I might leave behind. And I want to be, well, that's not as important, I guess, as it's somewhat difficult to even talk about, I guess, Greg. I mean, you look at your life and you think, okay, you know, the priorities that we have. It's not about. Well, it's all about bringing others, vision. Because you know what, at the end of the day, if you care for someone, you're going to want them to be saved.
Absolutely.
You know. And we can talk all day long about the issues, and we do talk about issues. But what's the biggest issue of them all? The biggest issue of them all is where we're going to spend eternity. And that, to me, and what we're doing for our children too, I think, as well. They're not mutually exclusive either.
You know, Jesus says in John 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." I want to be a disciple. I want people to know that I am a disciple of the one true living God, God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, through my actions. And you hit the nail on the head, Doug. As I think about some of the things that I'm going to do in my life, I have to ask myself, is this going to bear fruit? Because the Bible says that anything that doesn't bear fruit, that is apart from Jesus, will be what? Burned up. So it's a waste of time. Unless we're motivated by the love of Jesus, those things that we do in life are really, if you think about it, they're just a waste of time. They're not going to bear heavenly fruit that will last for all eternity. And so I think it's very important that, you know, every time I come on your show, that's the same major message, which is in 2001, I came to faith, and I can tell your audience this if you haven't heard my testimony. I, like Paul, was chief among sinners. I got in my fair share of trouble. I hung out with the wrong people. I did the wrong things. I was loving the world, very, you know, materialistic, and thinking that money was the answer to all, you know, every need that I had in life. And the bottom line is that when I was saved, born again, baptized in the year 2001, before when I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, the Lord changed my heart. He gave me a new heart. He gave me new desires. Those things that I was enslaved in bondage to, whether it be pornography or, you know, drugs, you know, smoking weed and following the Grateful Dead around and doing all those things and carousing and you know, going to bars and those sorts of things. He took those desires away from me. He changed me supernaturally. It was nothing that I could have ever done on my own. I can guarantee it, through my own strength and power. Because I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought I was the life of every party. And I do know that the life that I have now, not perfect by any stretch, but I do know this. I know I've been forgiven of my sins. I know I have a new heart. I know that I used to be a sinner who did some righteous things to be seen by the world as a good guy for all the wrong reasons. But now that I am a child of God, I am a born-again saint of God who sometimes sins. My life is no longer characterized by sin. And I can only say to you that in virtually every area of my life, that simple act of obedience and faith and trust in the Lord and receiving Him as my Lord and Savior in 2001 transformed my life in ways that there's not enough time, you know, in your show to go into all the areas, but I know that the Lord made me a better husband, a better friend, a better father. And it's nothing that I could have done on my own. So if you're at the point in your life and you think like maybe you're too old, maybe you're 65, 70 years old, and you think, oh, there's so many mistakes I've made, and you know, there's no way the Lord will forgive me. Let me just tell you, the Lord will forgive you. There is no unpardonable sin. I don't care if you've a murderer like King David, an adulterer like King David, a blasphemer, an idolater. It doesn't matter what the sin is, because God will. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that's rejecting the free gift of salvation through Christ. That is the only unpardonable sin. The Bible calls it blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the free gift of salvation. And by the way, it's the same path, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're Greek, Hispanic, Asian, black, white, it doesn't matter. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If today is the day, again, that you don't know for sure if you've been born again, then I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. That today would be the day that you get saved, forgiven of all of your sins, and know with 100% certainty that if you die tomorrow, that you will spend eternity in heaven. There is nothing more important than that, Joe and Doug. at the end of the day, there's nothing more important than that.
That's right. That's right. Yep. I mean, you're right. Plain and simple. In the larger context,
can I mention one thing real quick before I forget?
Sure.
I think there's a tendency. I was thinking about this today. In these dark days that we're living in, you know, and increasingly dark days, I think there's a tendency, even among Christians, to be paralyzed. Do you guys know what I mean? To just be like, well, what?
Sure.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, do I buy food, water? Where do I start? I mean, the world's coming to an end, and people can get paralyzed and anxious, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's something that has served me well and in my life that I think, you know, can be applied and hopefully will help other people out, which is I've always had a structure and a discipline. These are, you know, part of the things that I want to pass on to my son, hopefully. I'm doing the best I can, and we certainly have our struggles with our son. But the bottom line is that I think people, you know, they think that their feelings reflect reality, that their feelings are reality. So if they're depressed, if they're anxious, then that's the reality of the situation, right? If they're scared about the future, then those feelings dictate their reality. But in actuality, feelings can be very, very deceptive. Do you guys know what I mean? By
yeah.
feelings being just, and people can get paralyzed by that, and they don't know how to reach out to that father or mother that they don't have a good relationship with and patch things up. They don't know, you know, they just figure, I just, you know, I never really read the Bible that much, and I'm old, and you know, I'm never going to be able to be as knowledgeable as Pastor Lankford and recall scripture, you know, in a second every time I, you know, and so they become paralyzed and end up doing nothing. But in actuality, what I've realized is that when we take action, right, we take action, and a lot of times those actions, those disciplines, and people might say, oh, Greg, don't, you know, you're talking about legalism or religion. No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that when we take action in our life, that our feelings that we think are reality, we can change those feelings. In other words, I don't want to go to church today. All right, well, good that you don't want to go to church. Why don't you go anyway? Go anyway, because God says, is, you know, in the scriptures, that as we see that the day of his approaching, drawing nearer, that we should be in the habit of having regular fellowship all the more, right? So we can say, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Read it anyway. I don't feel like praying right now. Pray anyway. I don't really feel like calling this brother or sister because we really don't get along. We don't have that much to say, and, you know, I'm still kind of upset with this person in my life, and they haven't called and apologized to me yet. And what I'm saying is, do it anyway. Make the call. Get into your Bible, even if you don't feel like it, because doing those things will change, I can guarantee, will change your feelings. Because the more I pour into God's Word, the more I study His Word, the more I try to spend time alone listening to worship music, and even sometimes whole tones, which, by the way, whole tones is amazing, and I do own it. My dog Gunner loves it, by the way. The music of King David. But I will say this. When we do those things, they become a practice. They become habitual, and they serve as a foundation for a positive change in our perception of the world and our feelings. Our feelings will change when we take the first step and take take action in our lives. That's what I'm trying to say, because I know that there's a lot of people, they're just paralyzed. They don't even know where to start. Well, how about this? Read one psalm and one proverb every day. There's 30 proverbs. They, you know, I've been just telling my aunt, who I think is listening, and I love you, Aunt Nancy, if you're listening, in Nashville, Tennessee. But I was saying to her today that I've, since I was saved for 15 years, I've been reading one proverb per day for 15 years. Well, if you want wisdom, if you want discernment, if you want understanding, go to the book of Proverbs. Read one proverb that coincides with the number of the day, and you will read the entire book of Proverbs 12 times a year. Right? That's one place to start. Read one psalm a day. And then, if you can, read one chapter from the Old Testament, one chapter from the New Testament. If you don't pray, start praying for 1 minute a day. Start praying for 1 minute a day. And see if your attitude and your outlook on life changes. And I can guarantee you that when we aren't paralyzed with anxiety and fear and doing nothing, when we take action, God will meet us. He will bless it. And that would be my prayer for your audience, because I think we can all be caught up in that anxiety and you know, become paralyzed. Don't you guys? What do you guys think?
I can speak for Joe, I think, in this case as well. You know, it's interesting, the paralysis that you're referring to, I believe, is not just an epidemic here in America and the West, but it's widespread among all actions. Perception, when perception becomes reality, if you perceive something to be a certain way, you act in the fashion, well, you act according to your perceptions in this case. And if you have erroneous perceptions, then I think our activities are adversely affected. I guess what I'm saying is, although instinctively and inherently we know how as Christians, we know how the story ends. We know the end of the book. We know what happens in the end. Our focus becomes too much on the minutia and not enough on the bigger picture. And I think that we have to get a grip. And this is to the men. And I think that you hit a really interesting aspect here, because many men out there are not coming to the cause. Like you mentioned, with Coach Dave Dobmeier at Target. Yeah, it was short notice how many people showed up to back him up, you know, at Target. Hey, get out there and do something. Even if it's, even that one thing, just do it. Church, fellowship, do it. Read the Bible, do it. And soon you develop a pattern of behavior, I believe, that will repair that paralysis, that will fix that emptiness that you have. But you've got to believe too.
Absolutely.
You know, Greg, I think it's trite to say, oh, I'm saved, or I'm a Christian. That's very trite. But yeah, although works alone obviously don't give us our salvation, that doesn't absolve us from working.
Not only that, Doug, but God prepared those works before the beginning of time for us to walk in. So when we don't walk in those works, we miss out on the abundant life that God has called us to, because there's a tremendous amount of gratification walking in the good works that God has prepared for us. Our works demonstrate our faith. They're not justification for our salvation. They're a manifestation of our faith. Right, and it's the best way that we can glorify God is by being His arms and His legs. And by the way, one thing I want to say, because I know we're going to the end of the hour, one of the ways that we can all, and I'm going to your store, that's online. I'm going to purchase something. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the backpack or I might get the coffee mug because I do drink coffee in the morning. But one thing that we can all do, and I know that you guys never talk about this, so I'm going to, is that folks, I pray that, you know, when you go to, you know, whatever it is that you derive some sense of satisfaction from, you know, if you go to see a concert, for example, like hopefully my wife is going to surprise me with Lionel Richie tickets for my birthday, I hope, because I can't wait to see Lionel
Richie. By the way, your birthday is coming up.
May 29th, that's right.
May 29th, yes.
So, the long story short is that, you know, we go to a concert, you know, we pay for the ticket because we know that we're going to derive, you know, it's a transaction that takes place. And I just hope and pray that this Hagman and Hagman family, the worldwide audience, you know, that we all recognize the great work that you guys do. I know what it's like to prepare for a 3-hour show, and usually it's 2 hours for each hour that you're on the air minimum. I'm sure you guys prepare much more. This is your ministry. This is your life. The Bible says that a worker is worth his wages. And so I would just say, you know, I don't believe that the tithe, the 10% tithe is, you know, it's for Israel. It's part of the Levitical ceremonial law that was intended for Israel. The New Testament, Paul says to be a cheerful giver, to decide in your heart what you will give, and to be a cheerful giver. And to the extent that you are able, I would pray that you guys would come alongside me tonight. Go to HagmanandHagman.com, and let's be generous. Let's, whatever it is in our you know, resources that we can donate to keep you guys on the air, to continue to do the great work that you guys are doing faithfully every single day of the week, that you guys would come alongside me, that we would come together as the Hagman and Hagman family and be generous, even if it's only $5. Whatever it is that you can give, they add up. And I would just, it's so easy to do. You go to HagmanandHagman.com, you hit the donate button, and give any way that you can. I am going to, as soon as we hang up, make a generous donation because I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And it's always the high point of my day coming on your show. I so appreciate you guys.
Well, you know what, Greg, and we appreciate that. Here's what we're trying to do, just so people understand this, and with great guests like yourself. And this is not a mutual admiration society here, but there are so many stations, radio stations, so many radio outlets, so many political pundits, so many talking heads out there that are looking at the issues of the day, but not through the lens of biblical scripture. We're trying to do that. We're trying to make sure that people, as well as ourselves, are always good stewards. We're obeying God the way, you know, we're reading our mail. We're acting on the things that we need to act on. And we're trying, you know, we're looking at expanding. And you know what, Greg, you have to go here at the top of the hour. Are we preaching to the choir? Let me just ask you that. Do you think we're preaching to the choir here? Because we get accused of that a lot, second only to spreading, you know, fear porn.
No, I think that that yes, in some ways, preaching to the choir. But then again, when you go to church, you know, that's what the pastor does. He's preaching to the choir and the pew sitters, right? But I think that there's a lot of people that especially now that your audience has expanded, who are at different levels of understanding, and we're each at different levels of our spiritual walk and journey, and you know, and so I think that this is new for a lot of people, even the discussion that we were having tonight. So I think that to a certain extent, maybe you're encouraging people that are already on the same page, and that's what we should be doing. Encouraging one another, lifting one another up, you know, pushing each other, saying, hey, brother, I got your back. Keep running the race. Don't give up. So to a certain extent, yeah, that's, you know, part of your audience. But I think that there are probably hundreds of thousands of people that tune into the Hagman & Hagman Report worldwide at different levels of understanding. Some, you know, might be new believers. Some might not have made that proclamation of faith. Some people understand, you know, some of the degrees of the Illuminati and the New World Order and the macro big picture. So I would say that, you know, you guys should keep, you know, majoring in the majors. Your message has never changed. It's always been to encourage believers to explain the signs of the time, to know the signs of the times, to be able to explain them.